Sometimes the corpses in sealed buildings rotted in a strange way, maybe from the rats pouring through the walls, and the bodies filled the air with illness. He'd seen strong men begging to be chilled only hours after entering a sealed structure. When Ryan deemed it safe, he took the lead and entered, Jibby and Christy close behind. In the bright illumination of the pressurized lanterns, they could see the three huge doors of the loading dock to their right, and straight ahead was a large open area with the floor sectioned in yellow stripes. A forklift stood mutely near an oil drum whose top was littered with foam coffee cups and a large thermos. Clothing and shoes lay in disarray on the polished concrete floor, obviously disturbed by small scavengers.
Any rads?
We're clear.
JB set his lantern on top of the oil drum. A startled beetle scuttled out of the thermos and spread its wings to fly into the rafters. A cargo elevator filled one wall, the panels closed, the controls dark. The door to a stairwell stood alongside, yellow lines on the floor marking its swing pattern, obviously to prevent folks from getting hit by the opening door.
Safety first.
Straight ahead, a long central corridor stretched to the far brick wall, both sides of the passage with large doors marked in alphanumeric sequences.
Damn pre-dark codes. These storage units could be filled with shoelaces for all we know.
Got to open each.
Dean walked his lantern closer to the first door. The portal was veined metal, unblemished by the passing of the years. If there was a lock or hinges, they were nowhere in sight.
How the hell do we get in?
Jack went to a toolbox lying near the forklift and returned with a sturdy pry bar.
Got key.
Hey, what was that? Sounded like, well, like popcorn.
What makes a noise like that?
Nothing I know of.
Ryan lifted a pressurized lantern high to see the rafters. Nothing moved in the shadows, and overhead there was only the bare iron rafters, some moist water pipes for the fire control system, and the silvery insulation wrapped around the electrical conduits. Christy listened intently, but the noise was gone.
Rain on roof? Maybe birds?
There was no skylight in the warehouse, and no windows to see outside, only a hooded ventilation fan in a steel cage. The building was a fortress, offering no easy way for thieves to get inside. Slowly, Christy shook her head.
Can't say exactly what it was, but definitely not rain.
Ryan went to the rear door and glanced outside.
No sign of anything. Might have been a fan moving from the breeze of us opening the door.
Maybe.
Hear anything now?
Of course I don't.
Good. Let me know if you hear it again.
Bet your ass.
Going to the first storage room, JB checked for traps, and Jack stabbed the pry bar into the jamb. The teen gave a heave, something snapped, and the door slid sideways. Mildred raised the lantern to see, and there was only bare floor inside.
Empty as a stickie's pockets.
Sure hope this isn't a bust.
Funny. Now I smell horseradish.
Mildred spun from inspecting the corrugated walls of the unit.
You sure?
Yeah, why?
God, no, please, not that.
I smell it too.
Look!
Thin yellow fumes began to rise from disguised vents, the vapors becoming thicker and stronger in irregular swells.
Gas! Everybody out of the room!
Dashing into the central passage, JB shoved the door shut, but the fumes seeped past the jamb, swelling and expanding to sluggishly fill the passageway completely. From the rafters, a beetle tumbled down to hit the floor near a twitching mouse, lying on its side. Blisters were already forming over its furry body.
Mustard gas! Don't let it touch you!
This way!
As everyone tried for the loading dock, the swirling yellow fumes were already waist-high there, sealing off any possible escape in that direction. Retreating to the far end of the central passage, Ryan and the others put their backs to the brick wall. Steadily increasing in volume, the deadly gas was swirling like a living thing, slowly filling the passage in random spurts. The reek of horseradish was becoming overpowering, their eyes painfully tearing, and breathing was becoming torturous. Pulling out a canteen, Mildred splashed some water on her face, then soaked a handkerchief and held it to her mouth.
Big man!
He stopped!
Wet mask will only buy us a few minutes. We're dead meat unless we get the hell out of here right now.
Vince must not be working correctly.
Only reason we're still here.
I'll stop it.
Dean pulled a Molotov from his bag. Igniting the fuse, the boy threw the bottle at the expanding death cloud. In a crash, the cocktail roared into a fireball, but as the poison touched the flames, they dimmed and diminished in size until winking out of existence.
God damn it! Fire's useless! There's no free oxygen to feed the flames!
In desperation, Mildred's mind raced to recall chemical formulae. Did she have anything in her med kit to use as a counteragent for mustard gas? Truthfully, the physician wasn't even sure there was a counteragent. Slow and steady, the yellow fumes moved along the passageway, coming inexorably closer.
Gotta find another way out of here.
Blow the wall!
Wind would only bring the gas on us faster. On the wall!
Turning, Ryan thrust a hand into his pocket. Jack meant to blow open the loading bay doors and vent the gas out the front.
Brilliant!
Pulling grins, Ryan and JB whipped a couple of HE spheres through the mustard gas. There was no change in the growth of the poison vapors.
Dark knife!
Do it again!
No! Cover your faces!
Christy pulled out her very pistol. Aiming for the ceiling, she yanked the trigger. The signal gun thumped in her grip, her last flare launching on a sizzling column of colored flame. Streaking away, the signal flare slammed into a steel rafter and exploded into a blinding flash of colors. Almost instantly, there was a gurgling hiss, and water began to sputter from the fire sprinklers lining the vaulted ceiling. As the brackish fluid began to rain upon the swirling poison, yellowish water started running along the concrete floor and into the rusty drains. The drenched companions held wet handkerchiefs and covered their faces. Incredibly, the cloud was getting smaller, the deluge diluting the gas and washing it away. But the volume from the sprinklers was already slowing, what little water had remained in the century-old feeder pipes depleting rapidly. Now the military warehouse was fighting itself, the two defensive systems locked in mortal combat. Long minutes passed with the floor vents spitting out tiny gasps of mustard gas, while the sprinklers pitifully drizzled their dwindling supply onto the reeking death mist. Then, without warning, the vents became silent, the chem reservoir completely drained. But designed to extinguish a warehouse full of burning munitions, the fire sprinklers still sputtered out the occasional burst of water. In growing relief, the companions watched as the mustard cloud slowly thinned away, even diminishing in density and height, until only faint wisps floated over the puddled floor. Dean started to remove his rag, and Mildred stopped him. Patiently, the group waited for the sprinklers to cease operation, and there was no longer any sign of the lethal gas. Soaked to the skin, Ryan decided to be the first, and hesitantly lowered his damp cloth to chance a sniff. The warehouse smelled like a stagnant pool, but without any trace of horseradish. Carefully, the Deathlands warrior did so again, then drew in a deep breath.
Clear. Good thing you had a flare.
And that mustard gas is a soluble toxin. How did you know, Christy?
Didn't. But there didn't seem to be anything else to try.
A drop of water fell from the overhead pipes, landed with a splat on a lantern's protective hood, and hissed away into steam. Dean moved the lantern to a peg on the wall.
Damn smart move. Gotta remember that trick.
Try running first, lover. If this had been VX or M55 nerve gas, we would have been chilled before the first drop of water fell.
VK chills even faster.
How know that?
Exchanging glances, Ryan and JB didn't reply. There were many secrets in the Deathlands that they would never talk about. What they knew about nerve gas was one of the biggest.
I'm going to open the door.
Dean headed for the exit. Splashing through the shrinking puddles, they reached the loading dock and forced open the three doors. A warm breeze moved into the warehouse, carrying the rich fragrances of the jungle, flowers, fruit, and the heady aroma of living green plants. Leaving wet footprints on the apron, they walked outside.
Guess Doc's fine.
Drying off in the weak sunshine, the companions let the warehouse air out while they cleaned blasters. Nobody spoke for several minutes, thinking about how close they'd come to death from the trap, and knowing that they were soon going to go right back inside and try again.
Where there's one trap, there'll be more.
I don't doubt it. We'll each take turns opening the units, and at the first sign of any more gas, we leave fast.
Still need ammo.
Dean exchanged his wet browning clip for a dry mag from his jacket. The water from the sprinklers had been tainted with rust and scum that could cause a jam,
We'll get some. If not here, then at police headquarters. There should be a SWAT room and a vault full of blasters. The cops used to keep the vault locked to make sure nobody could get their mitts on the weapons.